Firstly, thank you to all of you for being here. It is a regular chair for memory, but I am appreciative that you're here. One clarification from last week in terms of Girsa, discussion and shir, I guess, on Wednesday, and Zach's observation. If you look in our Gemara, Daf Tesvav and Aleph, our Gemara reads as follows: Salka Daita Chamina, the second line after the Mishnah. In all the four kisveyad that are extant, there are five kisveyad anida, but one of them doesn't have this part of the mesechta. In all four extant kisveyad, the actual reading is Hani mina hecha deisa b'masa deram yanafshe batcha, aval hecha deleisa b'masa lo kamash malan. Now, what that means then is, there's the whole issue was, what is the kamash malan? Now, the way our Gemara reads the lo ramya nafsha, so I raise the question: is that shorthand for the lo ramya nafsha obadka, or is it dafka the lo ramya nafsha? And the difference was Zach's reading, my reading, and whether or not the Gemara is suggesting in the kamash malan that women actually do bedika, or that you don't need bedika. If you read aval hecha the leisa b'masa the lo ramya nafsha kamash malan, that she does bedika anyway. That's the way Zach wanted to read. Now, that's not the way Rashi reads or the way the Gemara earlier on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which you will eventually see, reads. I suggest that it could be, and thus, lo badka, you would think it's aser, kamash malan, then it doesn't depend upon bedika. But when you take the line out completely, lo, so you could read either way. It's ambiguous, but certainly there's nothing to suggest that hecha delesa b'masa lo, that she actually does bedika. There's no reason to read it more one way, my way versus his way, and thus I think it turns out that with the actual correct reading of the Gemara, somebody, I don't know if it was the person who did the Vilna Shas, or there's some manuscript on which the Vilna Shas, not the Vilna Shas, the, actually, I don't know what the first Shas read. I didn't check that. They don't have that for some reason. Well, I didn't see that on my Lieberman CD-ROM thing, or I never copied it out when I copied the text out 5 years ago for Nida. But by the time in the Vilna Shas, those words have crept in there, but those words might be misleading. Let's put it that way. Okay, so simply the way the where the Gemara earlier leaves it, the way Rashi leaves it, is that bedika is unnecessary, and thus it doesn't matter whether or not it was by Labir or by Min HaDerech. Either way, since she doesn't have to do bedika in order to be b'cheskes tara, it doesn't really matter. Okay, so now we're going to pick up from there. Amar Reish Lakish. Here's where it gets.
Sorry, so just to clarify, the word Ramya and Afsha are saying those words are the words.
The words in our Gemara erase the low Yat Ramya and Afsha. Just to have Halalhecha the Lesson of Masa, low. We don't know low what. Kamash Malan.
Right. So we're assuming that the reason why Ramya and Afsha has to be referring to Batka is because that's what it was.
It doesn't have to, but in the previous line it's Ramya and Afsha Batka, the low Ramya and Afsha, and therefore low Batka. Right, that's the only reason even when having this gear side, would not have been sure that Zach is correct. But as it turns out, it's all irrelevant because it doesn't exist in the Gemara, so it's a tabula rasa in which you can write, you know, whatever you want. What is the Gemara rejecting? Okay. Din, can I ask you to read Amar Reish Lakish? Fifth line in the Gemara. Oh, and this Vamad Aleph, right after the Mishnah. All right, so what is he saying here? Firstly, Tochi Me Onasa Rashi says, Lamed Yom, because that's the Ona Benis, because most women, by 30 days, most women will have gotten their period. So he says, then, Hu Shabo Mitzah B'Sochi Me Onasa. What is this qualifying? This is straightforward, I think. What is Reish Lakish commenting on? Yes, but I would add also he's commenting on ba min haderech. Husha ba mitzah betochime onasa. So the assumption is that the kula of the Mishnah of ba min haderech. Now, why only ba min haderech? What about the Stam case? The answer might be is that the whole point is here that you don't know, and you're not asking. You come in the middle of the night, or something like that, and again, it's not that it's a mutter laval ishto sishishena, but she could be a little bit awake, but you know, but he doesn't have to ask her whether or not she's a nida. And the point that Reish Lakish makes is that it's not true if he's bought. Says I would say if he's beir, presumably they talk when she's awake. He gets a clear answer from it. He'll know if she's a nida or not. But if he's baben aderech and he doesn't know, so if it hasn't reached the ona beinonis yet, so then you can assume she's not a nida. But if it reaches the ona beinonis, you can't assume that she's becheskes tara until you ask her. Now, continue. And this is where it gets difficult. Amar. Okay, so what is Rav Huna? What is Rav Huna responding to? Rav Huna is qualifying something. What is he qualifying? So, Rashi, if you look at Dibur Maskal Loshanu, says, Dechi mitza'a toch yemei onasa, lo baye bedika. Now, I think there are those who have read Rashi, I did initially, and the Rashba might, or I'm not sure which line, Rashi, as understander of Huna, qualifies Reish Lakish. I don't think that's actually true. I don't think it's true that A, Rashi says it, and B, I don't think it's possible that Rashi would say it, because what do the words lo shanu mean?
It
means the Mishnah was only taught. That's what shanu means. Why Rashi says what the Mishnah says, that an ishas becheskas tara levaila, betochim eonasa, adding Reish Lakish's qualification. But the Loshanu was fundamentally modifying the Mishnah. This din, that she's becheskas tara levaila, granted, betochim eonasa, is only if she has no veses. If she has a veses, she is also l'shamish. Now, presumably here, before the Gemara goes on to attack the statement, I would have read the statement very, very simply, but maybe it's so pasha. Why is it that if she has a vesa, she's asura? What kind of vesas are we talking about here? What? What? Fine, but I'd like to know a vesas haflag of how many days? Thank you. Less than 30. That's what I would assume. Loshanu is that only if she has no vestas kavua, but if she has a vestas kavua and it should come out within the 30 days, so then she's asura.
Until that point, she'd have whatever the smaller number she still have.
What's that?
But she was still the smaller number. She like
correct. In other words, she'd be muteris only up until that point. The kula is the kula that you have kol yemei onasa until you get to 30 days, that's only if she has no vesas. If she has a vesas, and the vesas is within 30 days, so then she's asura l'shamish. Now the truth is, that is very poshut, and it makes sense, and it's correct, but that's not how the Gemara understood the statement. Because the Gemara asks a question on it. What's the Gemara's question? Adia did go? What do the words klape laya mean?
Topsy-turvy.
Where did you get that from?
I wanted to see how they dealt with the fact you have three phrases in a row that meant the exact same thing, which is why I looked it up and how he's not
disappointed.
Klape laya. Rashi doesn't tell you here, but he tells you elsewhere in Shas. Klape is the word that you know. Means towards. Rashi says, lehechan hadavar note. In other words, it's what direction the things lean in. In other words, it's the opposite of what you would have expected. Right? Adaraba ibcha mistabra.
Three phrases in a row mean the exact same thing.
So is that
fun,
basically.
Okay.
So it's a triple negative, so it's still negative, so we're good.
Go ahead, Yadin. Now, the Gemara's question implies that it understood initially Rav Huna's statement differently. How did it understand Rav Huna's statement?
The last part of the Mishnah?
No. The Mishnah is one and the same. There's only one. For our purposes, I know there are two cases, but they're the same din. Isha is becheskas tara l'baila. It's crucial. How did the Gemara understand Rav Huna's qualification? I said to you, Rav Huna was claiming that the kula up until 30 days is only when she has no vesas. But if she has a vesas kavua and it's less than 30 days, you only have up until that date. So what? How did the Gemara understand it? Yeah.
Vesas
achodesh. No. He understood that the din that kala isha becheskas tari labaila, period. In other words, for the entire 30 days, is only true if she has no vesas kavua. If she has a vesas kavua, she is asura unless she is bodekes at any time in the 30 days. That's why the Gemara says, Chaim, that ipcha mistabra, eila vesas, you never know when she's going to see. Assuming that you had a woman who had a vesas kavua for 30 days, who would you be more mighty matir within the 30 days? The one with the vesas kavua of 30 or the one with the vesas shena kavua? Correct. That was what the Gemara's question was. So they didn't understand, it seems they didn't understand Rav Huna initially as saying that, and you look at the Gemara's modification, that we could have read Rav Huna effectively with what the Gemara does Lamaskana. But initially, one would have read Rav Huna as saying that that Lamed Yom, the Kula through Lamed Yom, is only if she doesn't have a Vesas Kavua. If she has a Vesas Kavua, then it's only up until the time of the Vesas Kavua. Namely, if he gi Ashas Vesta, she's Asura, which is exactly what the Gemara does to Rav Huna. But the Havamin of the Gemara was that what he was actually stating was that even if she normally has a Vesas Kavua at 25, 30, 35, she is not Mutaris Labai Labalabadika, period. Why would that even be possible? Why would that Svara be at all Shaya? It's not. The Gemara rejects it, but what would the Havamina be? That if a woman has a Vesas Kavua, you know that she's going to get it. A Vesa Shena Kavua, well, you never really know. I mean, the counter argument is that even a woman with Vesa Shena Kavua is eventually going to get her period. That's not really in doubt.
Unless you're thinking that it's a woman who's skipping periods, the frequency.
I mean, at some point, she's going to get her period.
Correct, but if a woman does like experiment with again, like at some.
Okay, so I would just say that the Havamin of the Gemara is that Rav Huna was prohibiting the entire period before the Ona Beinonis and requiring Isha Sheish Laveses Kavua to do Bedika. And the Maskat is no. Ela I Itmar Hochi Itmar. Go ahead.
Ela I Itmar Hochi Itmar. Amar Nerloshna. Ela Shalik Yeshad Vesta. Yeshad Vesta Asura. Asura Vesta Teorite.
All right, before we get to Kasavar, he doesn't say that. The Gemara modifies what he says first, which is Lo Shem Ela Shalik Yeshad Vesta. The Yeshad Vesta Asura. Now, what kind of a woman is he talking about? Vesas kavua, vesas shena kavua. Vesas kavua. Tosus just points out that the din is, and even isha she'en la vesas kavua, is muteris, up to the owner bainus. We know that based upon the Gemara earlier in Daki Beisim and Aleph, that even a woman without a vesas kavua is still muteris labai l'bobadika if she's not engaged in taros. That the reason why the Gemara has to, in effect, back out is not because of that, it's just because of the formulation of Rahuna. So Rahuna says that up until Shas Vesta, she's Muteris, but Igiya Shas Vesta, she's Asura. The Gemara assumes, Kosovar Vestos Teresa. Why does this mean Vestos Teresa? I'm sorry? Okay, but here's the problem. The problem is, even if it's only Drabanan, don't you know Kamat Vaday at a certain point she's going to get her period?
Depends on what degree of
okay. So, I'm not going to read the way Rashi reads. Might read the Gemara. It's not a fair from Rashi. The other Rishon read Rashi saying that way. Let's take a look. What does it mean? What's the Chiddush in saying Vestas Daraisa? You're going to tell me that if you hold Vestas and not Daraisa, you don't have to worry? If a woman gets her period every 27 days, and a man goes away and comes back on day 28, you're going to tell me, since Vestas are not the Raisa, she's a Materis? If he doesn't ask her? Seems a little crazy. So Tosos says, Afilu Giasman Vesta Let's read on in the Gemara one more line, and then we'll read the explanation of Tosis. Rabba Bar Chana, go ahead. All right, Vestas only the Rabbanon. So, Tosis writes, Afilu Igiya Shas Vesta Muteres. Tema, Heich Muteres. Ha'amrina B'shuas Perak Beis of the Kaman Perak Aisha. Ashar the Benosi Bnei Yisrael sheyifru mishdaseim samachal vestan is if he's our temes Bnei Yisrael mitumasam. So you have a pasuk. So what do you mean vester only the rabbanon and you're not choshesh? So he says v'yeshlama kishishasa achar vester shiva yamin sheyachol litbal airi. No, what they're arguing about is a case where she has a vestas and enough time has passed since the vestas that she could have counted shiva nikiyim and gone to the mikvah. So. And the din is that the safek tefila motzi mi de safek rasak. I heed the Rabbi Yochanan b'samuch. That since vestas are only the Rabbanan, we don't view it as if vaday rasa, but safek rasa. Therefore, since it's only a safek rasa, maybe she didn't get her period, and it's possible she went to the mikvah, so then it's you can assume that she went to the mikvah. In effect, you could call it a sveik sveika if you like, even though they don't use that formulation. Safek whether she became a nida, and imtim salam if she became a nida, maybe she went to the mikvah. Here's the important part. Afilu shasa kishiris man tefila asura. Devadai rasa hashvinala. When we talk kachi shadakti to see the Rav Yochanan b'samach vestas rabbanon. Leave aside the last line for a moment. So Tosa says, if you hold vestas d'oraisa, what does it mean that you're asura once you give shas vesta? It means even if enough time had passed where she would have been able to count shiva nikiyim or count whatever she needs to count and go to the mikvah, she's still asura. Why? Because it's like vaday rasa. Once vaday rasa, what's the din? You have to ask her because if you don't, it's a safek and ain safek motzimi de vaday. Lamanda amar vestos is only drabanan, it's a safek shirasa. Lamanda amar vestos doraisa, it's vaday shirasa. So the question would you have to ask her if enough time had passed whether she had been mitah herself? And the answer is, the Raisa, yes, because it's Vaday Rasa and Safek Motzi Mide Vaday. Mid the Rabbanon, no, because Safek is Motzi Mide Safek. Okay. That is presentation number one of Rav Huna's position. Rav Ashi, any yes, you're free.
Can you explain why does the Gemara reject the, I guess, the corrected version of Rav Huna? I mean, they present a first version of Rav Huna is that is that if she doesn't have a half of SS, then she's muteris, but if she does, then if she has a SS, then she's a surah. Then the Gemara says, ifcha mistabra, and then it ends up rejecting that. So why does it reject the second version of Rav
Huna? Where do they reject the second version of
Rav Huna? The Gemara says, so Ella... Are these qualifying what they said before? When they say Ella e itmar hakif, I mean they want to preserve the same.
No, that's the first Rav Huna they're rejecting. They're saying Rav Huna must have said the following because the way it's formulated it's when we heard it doesn't make sense. So that was the first presentation. Now comes along Rav Ashi, and he has a different explanation of how to read Rav Huna. Rav Ashi. All right, so lo shanu, that it's beches kastara, and that means even if the time for a period reached, ela she'en la vesas liyamin, ela yesh la vesas liyam lekvitza. She doesn't have a vesas for days, as Rashi says, alone. Rather, she has a vesas that if she jumps up and down 10 times on day 29, then she gets her period. If that were the case, you wouldn't have to be choshesh. Why? Because who said, even if Vestos d'oraisa, why would you have to be choshesh there? Because Eimer lo kaftza v'lo rasa. Maybe she didn't jump, and therefore, she didn't get her period. But, Rahuna says, but if she has only a Vestos liyamim, she's asura l'shamesh. Why? Assumption is Vestos d'oraisa again. It's like vaday rasa. Rabba Rachana Omar. Okay, even with Vestos L'Yamim alone, she's Muteris because he assumes Vestos D'Rabbanan. Again, Tosfos would say, with enough time to go to the mikvah, to 7 days, or Shevinikim, whatever it is, pass, and to go to the mikvah. So says, so would say Tosfos. Okay. So now is where it gets fun. Go ahead. Okay, 1 second. So now, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a woman has a veses, her husband can calculate yimei vesta and to see if there's enough time to go to the mikvah. Now, have we seen this position already? Yes, that's Tosus's reading of Rabba Bar Chana. What's that? Well, the second one also. They're the same. In other words, it's who knows who differs between the Lashonos, but for all intents and purposes, I think that Rabba Bar Chana is the same. Now, it could be he holds like his Rebbe. Who's his Rebbe? I think. You have to check. Are there two people? Is there Rabba Bar Chana and Rabba Bar Bar Chana? Does anybody claim that? Normally, Rabba Bar Chana, or Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I'm not sure which one, quotes Rabbi Yochanan all the time. Now here, what is quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan would conform to Tosfos' reading Rabba Bar Chana. But I believe if you look in the Rishonim, you might actually get a third shita. I think the Rashba mentions it. That says that no, that Ba Menaderech, even if he giyashas vesta, let's say before 30 days, still she's muteres lo. Pretty wild. So there are three shitas. One is that she's muteres. Two is that she's asura forever until he asks her. And three is that she's asura only if there wouldn't have been enough days from the time of her vestas kavua for her to go to the mikveh. Now the advantage of understanding Rav Huna, the way I'm suggesting now, that he says she's a mutaris legamre, because Vestas the Rabbanan, that would explain why Rabbi Yochanan is a new opinion. He's not actually siding with one of those two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no. You know, we would say, lo kedivre, zeva, lo kedivre, ze, ella, picking a middle position. That's, I think, the advantage of that. Otherwise, you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan's position is just a repetition of Rabba Bar Chana. Okay. One second. Correct. According to Tosfos, it's just a repetition of the position. According to that other opinion the Rashba mentions, even though I think he may not like it, it's a new thing.
Are we still understanding the Vestos Deraisa, Vestos Derabanan that has having to do with Vadai versus Safek?
No, because if you believe that she's a muteris b'li bedika, even with not enough days, you're saying basically that vestas d'rabbanan means unless we know it happened, we don't assume it happened. Unless we know that she got her period, under no circumstances do we assume that she did.
Okay. And how does that affect how we understand Rabbi Yochanan?
Because the question is, Rabbi Yochanan repeating Rabbi Archana's opinion or not? Is it a repetition or is it a new shita? Okay. Fine. Amar Lei, go ahead.
Sorry, can you just repeat, where is the indication that Rabbi Bar Chana is the same according to
Tosfos? Tosfos claims that according to Rabbi Bar Chana, when we say that even Higiyashas Vesta is Muteres, it doesn't mean that Higiyashas Vesta and he's Muteres that day or the day after that. It means if Higiyashas Vesta and there was enough time for her to have been the Nida and gone to the Mikvah and become Tahora, then since Vestas are only, if you hold Vestas are only Drabbanon, he is Muteres. He is Muter. But if you hold Vestas the Raisa, you're not. Is Rabbi Yochanan?
No, it's the other Rabba Bar Chana, the previous page.
Well,
is that only according to Tosfos?
Well, it's not according to Tosfos. Everybody would agree. Rabba Bar Chana says the same thing. It's only Rav Huna who disagrees. The question is how to read Rabba Bar Chana. Is he saying that you need enough? You have to let enough days pass by in order to be matir, or no? If it's the former, then it's the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan's din. If it's the latter, then there are three shitas here. Okay, Edin. So now. Hold on. So he says to Rav Shmuel Bar Yeba, says to Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan say Afilu? And that's the question. Yalda or Yalda? Let's read first with Rashi. Yalda the Beziza Lemitbal. Rashi says she's embarrassed. She's not comfortable going to the mikveh until he kind of encourages her, you know, with Meratza her Bedvarim. So she's not going to want to go to the mikveh. So maybe we should assume that he's not allowed to assume. Let's say he was out of town. He's not allowed to assume that she went to the mikveh, because she's still shy about it. So, afilu yalda the beziza limit, bo? So, amar le. Vadei rasa miyam Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean? Did Rabbi Yochanan say in a case of vadei? Amar. Tim saloma. Havalei. So the question is, what did he actually ask, and what was the response? So Rashi reads, Eimer Tavla. The response is, the question he asked is, Afil Yad Ben Meziza. The response was, did Rabbi Yochanan say in a case of Vadai Rasa that she's Muteris? No, he only said in the case of Safik Rasa. But Vade Rasa ain't Safik Mitzim Vade. So Rashi explains, though, Amar Tavla, fourth narrow line of Rashi. You see, you don't see it? Diba Maskal Amar Tavla. So basically, the answer is, it's a Safek case. The Gemara's whole formulation is bizarre, according to Rashi's reading. Tosfos says it's very dohak. What does it sound like from the Gemara, Rabbi Abba was responding to Rav Shmuel Bar Yeva? What was the point that he was emphasizing? Was it that Rabbi Yochanan said it in a Safek case, or that he didn't say it in a Vadai case?
He said it in a Safek case.
Are you guessing?
I mean, that's what it seems to me.
Look at the words. Eimar d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, atu, Vadai reasa miyam Rabbi Yochanan, Eimar d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Safek rasa, Safek lo rasa, Eimim tim salam rasa, Eimar tavla, Vadai rasa miyamar d'tavla. So was he suggesting in his answer that Rabbi Yochanan didn't say his din by Vadai, or did say his din by Safek? Atu, Vadai Rasa Miyam Rabbi Yochanan. He was questioning, he was telling him, Rabbi Yochanan did say his din, did not say his din by Vadai. Now that would imply that what was the question? If I tell you the answer is Rabbi Yochanan did not say his din by Vadai, what was the question? There was a case of Vadai, and the question is, would Rabbi Yochanan say there that he has to ask her? The problem is that Yalda, the Beziza Lemitbal, according to Rashi, is not a case of Vadai Rasa. It's a case of Safek Rasa. And you're wondering whether or not the Safek Tavla is Motzi Mide the Safek Rasa. So that's why Rashi's reading is very, very difficult. Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chanan give a completely different reading. You go to the third line in Tosus. Afilu the Ftati Ramaskal. Read a little bit, Yadin.
The third line?
Yep.
Rabbeinu Chanan of Farish, the thing of Yitam, Afilu Yalda, the Viziza Mitzvah, Yerush Alida, with Makhada Mitzvah, Tok Shoshin. The Amar of Harish Yitam, the Baal of Yitzvah, Tok Shoshin Lida.
Chalsa. Rava had to, they had to bring, it should be Amtia Arsa the Rava. They probably brought her bed to Rava so that he could lie with her to warm her up because she was freezing. Apparently blankets weren't enough. How do you know that that's possible? Amelech David Zakin Baba Yamim Vayechasu Baba Gadim Velo Yecham Lo. And what do they seek? Yivakshu b'chol goy Yisrael nara b'sular, something like that. V'cham l'adoni hem b'shachah v'chaykecha v'cham l'adoni ha-melech. Right, so the point was that Rabbah had to hold her to warm her up. So it's not a good idea to go to the ice cold mikvah within 30 days of, after Leidah. It's very hard. A woman is still not feeling up to it. Satosha says that the question the Gemara was, afilu yolda. The Beziza Limitpol, she's afraid to be told up. A woman was a Yoledes. Now, is a Yoledes a Vaday Rasa or a Safek Rasa? She's a Vaday Tmeya. She might not have been Rasa, technically. It could have been a Lady Abeshta, but she's Vaday Tmeya. So by that, so the answer is, Vaday Rasa me or Rabbi Yochanan? No, Rabbi Yochanan said, Safek Rasa. By Vaday Rasa, ain't Safek Motsi me ne Vaday. It reads, if you have Rashi's Shita, it almost has to be some different Gerson in the Gemara. But Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbi Yochanan fits much better in the words that we have in front of us. The din, by the way, is the same din. There's no machlokas in din between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The only machlokas is what is the Gemara talking about? Is it talking about a yalda, or is it talking about a yoledes, a yalda? But either way, a safek is mutaras, a vada is asura. So the principle then becomes that if she was a yoledes and she's vada tmeya, then the husband has to ask her because ein safek motzi mi de vade. Once she's vade tmeya, he needs to get from her a declaration of taharani. Sam?
What do you make of his reasoning, though, that like she's afraid to
feel up? Tosha scratches about that at the end. He says that beziza normally means embarrassed, which makes more sense for Rashi, but he says you can explain it as Lashon Pachad. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara is going to challenge the premise of Ein Safek Mitzvah Nevada. This is a tangent, but we'll read it quickly. An important tangent. Thank you, Yadin. And Binyamin, have you seen the Gemara yet?
No,
okay. Someone who has seen the Gemara, can they volunteer? Jeremy, go ahead. Are you standing because you're tired? No, you can sit. No. Stand. I would stand too. I'm tired also, but I'm too lazy to stand up. So, go ahead. I have to hold my Gemara. Go ahead. You can stand, by all means. And now the Gemara asks, "Hello."
Hello, Tanya. Chaver shemayet binyach migurah moyapirot. You hin bnei yoman, hare hin chesgad mitukanim.
All right, what does that mean? If you have a chaver, what's a chaver?
Shomer Torah mitzvot in front of 18 men.
Chaver. Well, the ancient chaver is that they were observant on Trumas and Maisos. They might not have been machped unto Matarat, they observant on Trumas and Maisos. Chaver is contrasted with Amaret. There is a modern day, although it's dying out, I suspect, Chaver, that Breuers, the Yekis give. Chaverus, yes. A good friend of mine in Phoenix, he's a Yekis. His father went back and finished Smicha at YU. But I think he has his grandfather's certificate of Chaverus. When you became a chaver, I don't know what was entailed in doing so, but if you hear the gabbai call someone up as a chaver so and so, because someone told him that's what the name is, that tells you you're probably dealing with the yeka, okay? And you can be a chaver, but that's not what the Gemara's chaver means. I mean, it is probably the same idea. It's like a fellowship of some kind. So a chaver dies, and he left a megura as a storehouse of full of peros. Even if they were harvested that day, the Braisa says, Harei hein b'cheskas mesukanim. What does mesukan mean?
Maverick.
not tevel. Tevel means before you separate all the trumas and maisos. Misukan refers to after you separate it. So, Gemara says,
v'ha'acha. V'alei tevel, sabek musar, sabek im musar, v'kachi sabek umutzi midi v'adai.
So you see that the peiros, it was vadai tevel, but a suffix whether or not the chaver separated maisos from it, and we treat it as if it's had maisos separated from it. Suffix is motzi midei vadai.
So what's on vadai the vadai? Rav Chanina, huzah. Rav Chanina huzah. Hazaka al chaver she'enu motzi mitachei dado, devar she'enu mitzuka.
All right, as Rashi explains, the chazaka of a chaver is like a vadai. A chaver does not finish a storehouse without separating trumas and maisos from it.
He did it right before he died.
He did his last act.
Yeah.
His last act before dying was he was mafresh trumas and maisos. Even if he was having a heart attack and he couldn't move, he could say that part, well, we'd want to know which part of the granary he had separated, but you couldn't separate the separate trumah
shabbat. Step into your granary that wasn't looser, that's like basically like messing yourself up.
I know. So and the bottom line is, he would not have left the storehouse there without having separate trumah shabbat. Presumably, if you find him dead
in the storehouse,
maybe you can't assume that anymore, but he would not leave, turn his back on the grain without having mimafresh trumah and maisos, because chazaka al chaver she'eno motzi mi tachas yadav she'eno mesukan, which is a fun expression, of course, which is used later with a different meaning. That a person who's considered trustworthy, he doesn't create shkiyot. Ein a chaver, ein a motzi, mitachas yad, davar shein a mesukan. In the more, I'll call it literal sense, or more colloquial sense.
Do we have a real chazaka, ruba, ruba, adi? Here, seemingly,
No, hold on. Chazaka ruba v'chazaka ruba adif. Chazaka there is not this chazaka. That's the status quo chazaka. Ruba is a behavioral rove, that thing, or a statistical rove that things happen. This chazaka is really a rove, but it's better than a rove. This overwhelming kimat vadai, not just a rove, that a chacham doesn't leave stuff without separating. That is not chazaka. The chazaka, there's a cheskas iser tevel. And there's a chazaka of rove, if you want to say more than rove, that a chacham is not motzi davar mitachas yadav davar she'eno mesukan. Okay? Different kind of chazaka. Okay, the interesting question here is that ruba b'chazaka, we don't say ruba adif on a certain level. In other words, safek is not motzi midei vadai. The vadai is the chazaka, right? That by the yoledes in the previous case, and the grain here is vadai, she's vadai tmeya, it's vadai tevel, at least that's the Gemara assumes for the moment. Right? Yet there's a chazaka, which is an overwhelming majority in this case you say the rove is not enough. But if there's a chazaka that a chaver is not motzi, mitachas yadav she'eno mesukan, so that's already stronger than just stam a rove, apparently.
So, again, the chazaka referred to in the phrase chazaka ruba ruba adi?
It means chazaka. You have a status quo chazaka, and then a rove that would suggest that it would have changed. So ruba chazaka, but here we're not saying the ruba. We need to come out of vadai to overturn the status quo.
Wait, so the chazaka here with the chaver, that's not status quo chazaka?
No, it is the tevel.
Okay.
And yet unless it becomes karov levadai that a chaver is not motzi mitachas yadav davar she'eno mesukan, we would not have said that the ruba is other from the chazaka.
But it is karov levadai, basically.
That's what the Gemara's answer is. So this is vadai levadai, not safek and vadai. Go ahead. Okay, so.
So we're answering now the different answer that Rabbi Oshaya is telling us that a person, of course, will in this case at least, he's going to bring it into his house while still having the chef on it.
No, hold on, step back, Sam. You might say step back means it's not for certain that the grain is tevel.
Right.
Why? Because there's a way it could have been brought into the house that wouldn't have made it into real tevel. So here, just a basic din here. There is two stages that are generally required in order for something to become tevel midoraisa. Number one is that you need a gemar malach hefshayach. You have to process the food. It doesn't mean you have to make dough out of it, but it means if you have wheat, you have to thresh it and winnow it and pile and separating the chaff and pile the kernels up. Miruach hakri. That's the gemar malacha. It still is not teva medaraisa until it has ri'ias penei habayis. Those two together. Before you have a gemar malacha, before you have what's called miruach hakri when it comes to grains, where you miruach hakri means to smooth out the pile of kernels. But really, what you do is you winnow and you're left with the pile of kernels. You gather them together. That's called miruach hakri. So before miruach hakri, you're only allowed to eat achilas arai. Midarabanan, they prohibited eating achilas keva. Achilas keva means you sit down and have a meal. Achilas arai means you snack. One of the ways of things that's called achilas arai is feeding your animal, even if the animal is eating a meal. Now, achilas behema is termed by definition achilas arai. Once you have a gemar malacha, and I think that, then it's midarabanan, and then if you have rias penei habayis, it's midaraisa, now even achilas arai is prohibited. Now, once it's midaraisa, what are you chayav for eating the tevel achilas arai? You're chayav misa bidei shemayim. But, so, however, it's only chayev. It only becomes chayev tevel min haTorah, even tevel min haRabbanan, where you can't achilas arai, if it had a gemar malacha, followed by, and then, midaraisa followed by rias penei habayis. If, however, you have a rias penei habayis, when the grain has not been fully processed, but you don't have a gemar malacha, the rias penei habayis means nothing, and therefore all you're left with is grain that hasn't had a gemar malacha. Now remember, you can't eat it achilas keva still. You as a person, you can feed it to your animals. So Rav Hoshaya said that if you want to engage in a harama, you can be marim al tfuaso umachnisa b'mot shala. You leave it with the chaff mixed and you thresh it, but you leave the chaff in there. Kedei shtebem tochalas apetur maisi. You can feed it to your animals. What's that? Right. I don't know if there's any difference in bringing it in through not the door of the house. It might just be easier to bring it through the front door, and you just leave the chaff in there because the animals don't care. They'll eat whatever. So, yes, yes.
So two questions. So this is the first, I guess, follow-up time. So both harama work, meaning either if you bring it in the front door when the chaff is still on, or you bring it in, or you bring it in like through like some like you know weird entranceway on the chaff.
Without the chaff.
Without the chaff, right. So meaning either one, it's not the tevel d'oraisa.
Correct. Therefore, it's not even tevel midrabanan. So you can eat achilas arai, but you're not keva. Your behemah's achila by definition is arai.
You can eat
only achilas arai,
right.
Even when you pluck it from the ground initially.
Right.
You're only not that achilas arai. The Gemara has a comment in Brachos, I think, about this. The Gemara's comment is. And they quoted there. I thought the Gemara says, "Ru'u ma bein doros harishon al doros acharonim." Forget where it is. The doros harishonim would dafka be makbet to bring it into the mechayivit, and the doros acharonim weren't so from. They took advantage.
That's why we shouldn't educate the masses.
Okay.
this is
you're entitled to your opinion.
I mean, it's the Mishnah in Sota when it says, well, you shouldn't teach to say.
Keep digging.
You
want to
finish that?
Okay.
Maybe.
What?
There's also some questions. So just the order, I know this isn't Sota, but the order is that first you thresh and then you widow?
Yes. You thresh because you break apart the kernels, break them off the stalks. Now, the kernels are heavier, so you throw them up in the air, and the wind blows away the light stuff and leaves the heavier kernels fall back down to the ground, in situ.
With the chaff on it.
What?
With the chaff.
No, the point is the threshing breaks the kernels off. You've probably never seen it. Have you ever seen a wheat stalk? I mean, with the actual look at it, I haven't, but I know what it looks like. In other words, I haven't actually handled one, but it's like the kernels are on the stalk.
Yeah.
Right. Imagine like a pea pod. It's not like a pea pod in the sense. A pea pod is enclosed, but it's the same idea. And when you thresh, what you're doing is you're breaking those kernels off the stalks. But now you have this mixture. So the first of the three boer malachos that exist in the 39 malachos is zora, where you throw it up and the wind, or whatever it does, blows it away, blows the chaff away, blows the lighter stuff away, and the kernels fall back down to the ground because they are heavier.
Cool.
And then when you're done, you just gather them together, and that's called Miruach HaKri.
What's the case where you're doing a Chilat Keva where it's not a Gemar Malacha? It seemingly doesn't exist.
No, because Gemar Malacha means it would mean that depending upon the kind of fruit. Well, no, you could sit down and eat a large quantity. I don't know. You're asking what's the technical definition between keva and arai? I don't know.
I thought keva was always something like washing bench on.
No, not for these purposes. No.
No.
Because you go out to your field and you eat a ton of.
And you eat it as your meal. You don't eat olives as a meal.
Yeah.
That's keva.
The
Mishnayis and Maisos list the Gemara Malachas for each of the different kinds of common species in Talmud Mishnah.
So for olives, what's the Gemara
Malachas? Didn't I tell you when Rebbe is learning one Masechta, you can't ask him a question another Masechta? The difference between me and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi is he knew the answer. Ezu Garner Lemaisos. Let's see. Where does the Goren from Maestros? Hatvua Mishimer Yimareach. All right. Kidney has its own. Yayin has its own. Shemen Mishiyeved the Uka. But what about the olives themselves? So normally people didn't eat olives. They process them and turn them to olive oil. I mean, they did eat. I'm not saying nobody ate olives. The primary function of olives, the default was for oil. So.
You don't have a case.
No, Mistama, if you look at the fruits here, that's the way you would determine it. You have to look at how they process olives.
Take the stems off?
Some of them have that. But that, they don't list Zasim, or I'm not seeing Zasim. Right. I mean,
a lot of fruit that really isn't, that's really, the worm up literally is.
I know. Let me put this aside for the moment. Okay, so therefore, it might be that the chaver, you can assume that it's m'usar because it's safek and safek. Safek whether it actually became chayev, and even if it did become chayev, maybe the chaver may have separated. All right, let's talk about the case first. As a case of a shivchaso shel masik echad, what's a masik? I thought, without looking, that it really should have been matzik. It's a bully. But that's not how the Rishonim read, masik. I know if he changed the girsa. He said, I'm not sure he's changing the girsa. But masik, he says besamach. Now that's sadi, he's what he means, coming to avoid. You have the expression elsewhere in Shas, shivchaso shel meitzik echad. It exists. That's why Tosafot probably to tell you that this is actually with a samach. And a mosek is someone who harvests olives. Right? The different, it's not, you know, they say the Eskimos have like 20-something words for snow. It's not true. But, it's one of those urban legends. But it happens to, what?
It's semi-true. It works like German, that they combine two words to make one word. So like yellow snow is one word, and then green snow is another word.
Okay. But Chazal do have multiple words for different kinds of harvesting. The way you harvest grain is you are kotzer. The way you harvest grapes, you are botzer. The way you harvest olives, you are mosaic. The way you harvest te'enim is you are oreh, aleph. And the way you harvest dates, tamarim, is goder. Goder bat tamarim. If you want to see them, they're all in a Gemara and Shabbos, think ayin gimel ayin dalem and base.
If you like, there are nothing but last real
skill. So he was a musik. He was a olive harvester. Okay, Rimon is the name of a place. It is kind of funny, the olive harvester lives in pomegranate. Okay.
This was the shivcha of the olive harvester in Rimon.
Right, in pomegranate.
Is it scary?
She miscarried, yes. And the fetus wound up in a bore, and a Kohen came and looked in it. Now, firstly, you see a couple things. Firstly, you see, as Tosis points out, that a shivcha is metama veleda, and just like a bas Yisrael, because somebody wanted to know whether it's zacha or nekeva. The nafkamina being what? Correct. So, now, the second problem here is that this Kohen was a shoyte. Right? You don't taste something on the smach that, well, is this poisonous? Well, let me taste. Right? The Kohen, who's muzer ala tuma, is not supposed to go and say, oh!
It's okay, he's just two kids, fine. They've had a different meaning.
You know, Chaim...
As if it was just Dookie, who's it? Yeah, to explain it.
So, this guy leans over the boar, leans over the boar to see if it's Zachar Nekeva. They come to Chacham and they say, the Kohen's Tahor. Tosus Rashi has a comment. Rashi quotes several things. One was that he was a Kohen Chacham Haya, and he was Mor HaRos, and he wanted to know Yetum of Tara. Or, he would regularly live there, and he lived in that house, and she lived in his house, and he wanted to know whether she was Tamei Torah, because she's touching stuff. Finally, the last possibility is that he wanted to know when she's supposed to bring her carbon, whether it would come out in his mishmar, a very mercenary interest, right? Because when you bring carbonos, if you're not a Kohen, if Yisrael brings carbonos, and whichever mishmar they bring it in, so it goes to the Kohanim in that mishmar. So therefore, Rashi says he thinks that last shot is ridiculous, because firstly, how much is there really that he's thinking about it? There are two birds that the Yoledis is going to bring. Oh, she could actually bring a carbon, no?
If she wanted to.
He says, but the carbon is an Ola, excuse me. The carbon is, it should be the correction, right? Yeah, the animal, if you bring an animal or a bird, that variant one in the Yoledis is an Ola. The oaf, the Chatas is always an oaf. So tell me something, you have a little dove, a turtle dove. The Kohen's worried about the amount of meat that you have on the Chatas Ha'of. That's what he's worried about. One could also have added is that Rashi also adds that who says she's going to bring her carbon the first day she's eligible? Maybe she'll wait a week. There's no chiv to bring it on day 40, day 80. You can't bring it before day. You can't bring it on before day 41, before day 81. But she could be ma'acher a little bit.
Why does Rashi say Ola?
Rashi also what?
Wasn't the Ola the one that he wouldn't be eating anyways?
Well, that's the whole point. In other words. No, the Ola he wouldn't be eating, but there is a Chatas. You'll say he wanted to know whether he was going to get to eat that big, juicy turtle dove. So that they correct the Gersa, rightfully so. Because if the Chatas were a behema, well, there's a gazunt amount of meat, potentially. I mean, not huge, but the behema is a kispa seira. It's a first-year animal. It's a kispa. Keves. Keves, benshna sol Ola. So it's still, I mean, it depends what time of year, but it's certainly more than a little, little itsy-bitsy birdie. So Rashi says he doesn't think that's correct shot. Secondly, he also thinks it's not the Chacham being Moreh because the Chacham's being Moreh, he's down on Maretz. He doesn't stick his head out over possible Tumah. But rather, it must have been Kohen Amaretz or Katan, and they lived, and she lived, the Shivcha lived there, and therefore they wanted to know whether she was Tamei or Tahora. Okay.
Why is it that we said earlier that there's a shivcha, so we're saying a shivcha has too much veda? So why?
Because otherwise there would be no nafkamina. Who cares about the zachar nekeva?
Right. But I'm just curious, why typically non-Jews have too much tahara regarding...
No. Non-Jews do not. There is no... All tumah by a non-Jew is midrabanan. The only exception is a machlokas, a thruya machlokas harishonim, whether on a goy shemes is mitame magamasa ohel, magamasa only, or not at all. The third sheet is a very difficult sheet to see in the Gemara anywhere, but it's quoted in Yerdea, but that's not a sheet that we accept, but there's a machlokas, whether a goy is mitame ba'ohel or not, but he's mitame ba'magamasa. That's the only tuma. Goyim never have tuma when they're alive, only tuma when they're dead.
So here we're discussing a shechah.
Shechah kananis. Shilcha Kananis is Jewish most of the way, right? Like an Eved Kanani, right? They're chayiv in all mitzvahs like an Isha. So a Shivcha is Tumas Leda. It's not such a chiddush, right? She is like an Isha with respect to Mazdinim, except for that she has an owner. And she doesn't have full Kedushas Yisrael, and Isha does have full Kedushas Yisrael.
So does that mean... Okay.
Okay. Fine. So...
Also, what it says is here, Ruhu, says they made him pure.
Yeah, the Kohen who stuck his head out.
Right, so according to other Pshat that we grow up, the second Pshat, Shigura at Silver Bayit, the Gabi Jumato, so that's why I would say...
Well, the issue is still the same. The Rashi is just trying to explain the motivation of the Kohen sticking his neck out. The Chachamim evaluated the situation and said the Kohen is Tahar. So that's it's going to be a Tiaruhu no matter what.
I thought we're trying to figure out, according to that shot, it sounds like we're trying to figure out whether the Truma, which she touched.
No, naniach that, but in order to find out whether the Truma she touched, you have to know what the fetus was. The whole shayla is the whole shayla in the Gemara, and the focus according is the Kohen Tameh or not? There's a Vadai Nefel there. There's a Safek whether or not. So let me read the Gemara continue. I'm sorry, so he stuck his head over where the Nefel had been thrown. The question is, was the Nefel still there? He couldn't see.
Right, I understand. I'm just asking. When it says the Tia Rubu, so it sounds like it has to be referring to the Kohen, granted. But I'm just curious. According to this Shan Rashi, it sounds like we're trying to find out whether he's trying
to find out whether she will defile stuff after 40 days. He is trying to find that out. That's all. So therefore, the Gemara now says, okay. What's a chulda?
A
weasel. A weasel? And what's a bardalas? A cheetah, a leopard, something like that. Yeah. What'd you say?
We both said prophetess.
Yeah. She's put in the bar. He leaned over the bar. The only shyness was the nafil still there. The question is, did one of the animals find it? So the Gemara says, Lo tema. She miscarried something, but we're not sure what. So we're not even sure that it was a nafel. And you can have such a thing as, who was talking during Seder, you can have false pregnancies. You can have an embryonic sac without a fetus in it. You can actually get the body, it's not a common thing, and it often goes unnoticed, but you can have such a thing. So you don't know whether or not it was a nafel or a ruach. So that's why it's a suffix. Suffix whether there was tuma there, and even timsalar was there, maybe a chuldan about it stole it away. Okay. And now the Gemara says, but that can't be why. Vaha. Now the Braisa says, the Nova Zach and the Keva, that means it was one of them. So the Gemara says, no, this is the way you should read the Braisa. Hachi Katani. Hachi Kamar. Okay. So in other words, he was going to check out the situation. There were multiple possibilities in front of him. He was going to investigate. So what is the answer right now? This is a nice inversion here. We started out with one kasha about insaf imitzim mevada, and we said it was a vada or vada. If you say it's a suffik or suffik. Now we have a second question. Our first answer is, it's a suffik or suffik. Suffik whether it was an afel, whether there was tuma there, suffik whether chulda and bardalus took it away. And now we're going to give a second answer. Vibay sema. So it's a vada or vada. No. V'intin Salom is part of the first part. In other words, to explain how the Braisa wasn't talking about a Vaday Tuma. We thought the Braisa said, Hitzitz Baleida and Zachar Nekeva. If the choices are Zachar Nekeva, it's Vaday Metame. So if we have to say, no, Hitzitz Leida and Nefel and Ruach, and if it was a Nefel, then you'd also want to know whether it was Zachar Nekeva to know how many days. So then already it's a Savik.
Wouldn't a nicer way to read it? Instead of saying, they're reading Gemara as either Zachar or Nekeva.
When we have Mishnayos, we often talk about Teshev LeZachar or LeNekeva or LeNida. Nida is the no Leda choice there. Right, but I don't know if they have a better expression here. So, okay. All right. So we're going to, yes.
Question. So going back to the Truma and Nasser thing. So according to Rabbi Oshia, so if we're talking about a case where the chaver brought in the truma?
No. What we're saying is that it's possible that the chaver brought the grain into the megura without taking it through, without, you know, not having processed it yet. And he processed it inside the megura, inside the building, and it's not nachayiv min haTorah, it's still not aser b'achilas arai, because it's not vadai tevel min haTorah. Therefore, the behavior of the chaver is motzi miyad the iser of the safek iser of tevel. And the fact that it's, why are you allowed to eat it? After all, even if he did bring it in, it would still be asur midrabanan to eat it achilas keva. So Rashi, I think, says that since it's only nisa the rabanan, the cheskas chaver works there. Only if it were vadai tevel the raisa, but when you said the cheskas chaver didn't work, because it's safek motzi miyad vada. Yes?
Based on sort of the flow of the Gemara, does it seem like the Gemara is trying to prove or disprove Yotzei Midei Vadai?
The Gemara is trying to prove, find cases where Safek is Yotzei Midei Vadai.
But it's having a problem.
But the Gemara's answer in the end is that no, ain't Safek Yotzei Midei Vadai, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan would say that Yalda is Muteres, Yolda is Asura. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. I don't.
When the Gemara said at one point that the chaver, the case of the chaver is somewhere in between a safek and a vadai.
It's karov levadai. In other words, in one teretz of the Gemara, the chazaka is so strong that it's like vadai uvadai. Yeah.